one. This is the Freedom Tune. And sort of in contradiction to our regular broadcasting, I actually have some somber news that I'd like to bring the audience as well as some of the co-hosts. I'm not even sure if you guys have heard.
Does this have anything to do with the Dead Finger mixtape?
It doesn't. I'll give you the floor for that, but let me just do this first. I've got a couple of paragraphs here. So we were saddened to learn this week of the passing of one of the Freedom Fiends' most valuable co-hosts, someone else. Someone's death created a vacancy that will be difficult to fill. Else has been on the show for a long time. Someone did far more than a normal person's share of the work.
I'm sorry. Sometimes things are so tragic that you laugh uncontrollably and it's not appropriate. But humor is the body trying to deal with drama, with death. You know, the fact that we're all going to die. So I apologize. Please.
Sure. So someone else can do the work was a comment often heard around the Freedom Fiends. Whenever there was a job to do, one name was really at the top of everyone's list, and let someone else do it. Someone else sometimes appeared superhuman, but one person can really only do so much, and the truth is we all expected too much of someone else. Now someone else is gone, but they left a wonderful example for us. So who is going to do the things that someone else once did? Well, here on the Freedom Fiends, we don't depend on someone else anymore.
Yeah, I do it all behind the scenes, as usual. But we are going to miss someone else. And, another someone else, Jim Jesus, fellow fiend, Jim Jesus has a new podcast, which debuted today, and it's called Lulberts, which I guess means laughing at everything. And it's LOLBERTS.com, and it's a really good-looking site. It's a really good-sounding show, first show he did. Because it's done with Fiend Phone, and it's also licensed Bipcot, but everybody should go check out Lulberts.com. I don't know if he's going to do anything with the
Worms,
the dead finger party mixtape.
You've made a snob out of me. Like, I actually email podcasts with bad audio now, and I'm like, hey, I'm a listener, and here, go check out Fiendphone.com.
That's how I met and became best friends with Ben Stone. Like, I used to listen to him. As soon as he got an LRN, I started listening to his show, the Bad Quaker, and was blown away by how good it was, but it sounded really bad. And I was like, hey, man, I'm a huge fan of your show. Let me give you some free advice and help you get your audio better. He did not reply. And he said, he was like, I don't know who the hell this guy is, Michael D. I'm not going to answer this. And I wrote him again three months later. And I finally, the third time I wrote him, he wrote me back. And then I helped him and his audio got a lot better. And we've been friends ever since. And, he's been doing the Weekend Fiend shows while I've been sick. And now that I'm not as sick as I was, I'm still sick, but I'm not as sick as I was. He suddenly is having brain farts to where he can't do the show on the weekends. The timing worked out great. I hope it's temporary, but I think that Ben Stone is such a valuable resource that what I'm doing for the foreseeable future is every weekend, one show will probably be live or maybe a replay, depending on how much help I can get from other fiends, but or if someone else can do it. But one
someone else can't do it anymore.
I know you can't, and you're not doing the Sunday night show because I'm probably going to be doing the Sunday night show. You're going to be doing the Tuesday night show, but the show must go on. So here's the thing. I'm taking the top 50 Bad Quaker podcasts. And that's a collection that we put up on the BitTorrents. I'm taking those and re-editing them for airplay. So they're going to play because I figure they got to be broadcast once because that might be the thing that really gets the aliens at Alpha Centauri to notice us. I think Ben's stuff is so good that it deserves to be broadcast at least once. I'm not going to put it up as a podcast because it's already a podcast, but I'm editing it to fit the criteria of the show clock. It's really hard to do. So if you want to throw me an extra Satoy or whatever you kids are trading for your magical beans of internet drug money these days, go ahead.
Well, thank you for your service, Michael.
Yep.
I noticed the Ben torrents today, and that's very exciting news. I always enjoyed Ben's stuff, and I didn't know you had anything to do with making him sound better. That's huge. Thank you.
So how's K-Gay? Is it on the air still?
Yeah, K-Gay is broadcasting right now as we speak.
88.1? Yep.
Yes.
In San Francisco?
I have a 60s-style portable radio that I've been walking around San Francisco listening to K-Gay. Yeah, thank you for the radio.
I bought you with money I raised for the the Transmitters for Somewhere project, which is still open. So far, two of them have been placed, and two more have been ordered. So if people want to chip in, like, just go to Freedom Fiends and click on the Torrent Club link, because I'm paying out of my pocket.
Coolest experience has been, I think, Uber and Lyft ride drivers are the greatest resource for K-Gay, because every time I'm in the car with them, you know, they got their whatever radio station on. I'm like, yo, turn on 88.1. I want to hear K-Gay. And they've never heard it before, of course. And hopefully the fiends work their magic through the radio and convert these people into people who will reach out to the aliens in Alpha Centauri and say, wow, the Earth is finally ready for us.
Right, right, right. And, you know, really, like, I really think that one of the portents of this coming, also of the, you know, the final, like our higher power of these aliens coming down from Alpha Centauri to bring us liberty and get rid of the government, is the fact that we have a vision now of the soundtrack of it, and it's going to be the Dead Finger Party mixtape.
What is that?
I had a dream the other night. I had a dream, and it was so clear. It was one of those, like, I woke up, and I'm like, I know that's real. Where's the tape? Is it in my drawer? I had a dream that I was, like, in the bathroom of a coffee shop in Casper, Wyoming, and I found this envelope, and I opened it up, and there was a severed male human finger, bloody finger, in this envelope, and then a cassette tape, and on the cassette tape, just scrawled on one side of it in ink, it said, the Dead Finger Party mixtape. So it was like this cassette tape that comes with a dead human finger, and I popped it in, and it was like, it was all like rock, you know. It was like Spinal Tap and Metal Apocalypse and Boston and all this 80s metal, and it was really good, man. And so I digitized it and took a picture of it with the finger, and then put it up on the internet. And it became, and, like, I was like, I don't know.
In your dream, you did this.
In my dream. And then I also, like, dropped the tape off at the police station. Like, you know, this might belong to some family. The police will get it back to them. And I know. I didn't talk to the police. I just
they would slap cuffs on you so fast.
No, but I. But,
all right.
But, no, but I.
Yes,
didn't,
sir.
I didn't,
okay. I, we'll get this back to the responsible
I didn't,
party.
I didn't get any fingerprints on it. And didn't put my name on it. I just dropped it in their mailbox. So, and then, like, that became a news story of, like, whose finger is this? The police are trying to find out. And then, but I took the care I put of, like, taking this digital version of it and putting it on the internet. I took, like, Silk Road kind of measures. Like, I did it through Tor, through a VPN, encrypted. So nobody knew who put it up. And it became, like, the biggest thing in the world. Like, all the kids were dancing to the Dead Finger Party mixtape.
It's funny that you made the Dead Finger Party mixtape digital.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Digital, people still call digital stuff mixtapes, don't they? Kids,
yeah, they do. I was wondering if the finger was going to come alive and start dancing to the music. Like, maybe it was affecting
monkey's
somehow.
Paw. It could. Well, you know what I think inspired it was the movie Blair Witch Project has no music in it, yet that movie was so popular that they actually sold a soundtrack of it.
And but it had no, of what? It, silence?
It's called,
or
it's
them
called
screaming?
No, it's called Josh's Mixtape. Josh is one of the characters, and it's supposed to be the tape that the police. It's supposed to be the tape the police found in his car after he was killed by the witch.
That's awesome. That's
a good workaround.
That's a great workaround, man. And it's like it. They sold it as a tape that looked like, you know, it looks like it's written on it with magic marker, Josh's Mixtape, and it's all like, you know, death rock and like spooky
that
music.
Movie is so DIY or die.
Oh, and it really is. I interviewed Josh in my $20, not the film school book. It was out when I met him, but for $20 music school, I interviewed him in the book. And he's an interesting cat. He used to live up the block from me in L.A.
Did he really have that mixtape?
No, he said, like, I hate all the kinds of music that they had on there. It was just like they owned his name, you know. So he's
not even the character in the movie. He's not playing himself in the movie.
All three of them use their real first and last name, but they're kind of playing like characters of himself. But they're also like when they're screaming at each other, they're really mad and they're really hungry and they're like out of cigarettes. And Josh was like kicking heroin in the woods, freezing in Maryland woods. Yeah. So Lou Sandrafine took a pilgrimage today and went to GCN. He's the only Fiend host that's actually ever been to GCN in Minnesota.
That's cool.
There's pictures.
I didn't even know where it was.
His pilgrimage.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Did he bring anything important with him?
No. He was actually just himself. Like, you know, he lives in Michigan and he driven down to Minnesota for the Agoura Fest.
Okay.
And then it was.
I think he'd bring like gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
I know, Agoura. I used to live in Agoura Hills, California. There's actually a town called Agoura Hills, but it's spelled differently. It's from a.
Are there lots of markets there? Is it like a free marketplace?
It's a lot of mini malls. It's suburban Southern California.
urban sprawl sounds just like the Agoura.
Well, it's actually at the edge of the TMZ. You know what TMZ stands for?
Isn't that the 10-mile zone?
The 30-mile zone. Like, basically, supposedly anything that matters in Hollywood happens within 30 miles of, like, Hollywood and Vine or something. And Agoura is, like, 33 miles, so it's just outside of... But a lot of stuff's filmed there still. You know, it's like the backwoods of L.A. You
know, there's, at Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk... At Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, if you go out on the pier, there's one of those signs that's like a post and then arrows pointing all these different directions.
Yeah, like in MASH.
And the market. Yeah. So like the marketplace on the pier is called the Agoura. So one of the arrows is the Agoura pointed this way, right? But all of the other signs are like no skateboarding, no bicycling, no smoking, no drinking.
No market. They all say no market.
Exactly.
Over there. No free market. No free market. There's a market. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Somber, more somber than you. I was the intro was a little more somber than usual. I'm not surprised. It was confusing.
Yep. So check your email, guys. I sent you pictures of Lou at GCN today in Burnsville, Minnesota, and there's a picture of the Fiend phone server too. It's like and of like a mixing board that has an input that says Fiend FONE Fiend phone. Like we're embedded there, man. And there's Fiend buttons everywhere. Cause I send them to the board ops, you know, when they do me a favor. But I guess they don't wear them; they just hang them up all over GCN. It's cool.
So, decoration for their studio.
Yep. So I want to welcome a new station. This is pretty cool. And you said you're surprised we're going up in station numbers instead of down, huh?
Honestly, I am. I'm always terrified, like, if we've gone too far with the Fiends, with some of our stories, some of the things we share. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's new. It's different radio, and it's something that a lot of radio stations probably wouldn't expect to hear.
I think we're more normal on the weekends than the weeknights. We're on more stations on the weekends but we're getting up there on the weeknight ones. And, you know, but weeknights we're on at like 1 to 3 a.m. It's like if your kids are listening, if your little kids are listening, you're a bad parent. You've got worse problems than what we say on the radio. I'm kidding. All right. I want to welcome WXME 780 AM in Monticello, Maine, which is right on the border of Canada. It's on by Presque Isle, Maine, Caribou, Maine, and it reaches into Canada. So we're international with this. That's pretty cool, man.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, and Maine. This station is
known locally for, like, there's a show on there called Aerostock. I don't know if I'm saying this right, but it's like Aerostock Watchmen, I think. And I checked it out. It's like, it's a bunch of dudes that are all, like, I don't know, probably older than me, maybe retired, that are kind of, they're kind of sovereign citizen-y, kind of like Derek J. I mean, you don't call yourself that, but you stand up in courtrooms and say, like, hey, what gives you the right, judge,
yeah,
to judge me?
I do that.
These guys do that, but, like, they also, like, hang out. I read somewhere, like, Mother Jones or something. Put it this way, like, they're on one station plus talk show radio, but, like, they get written up in Mother Jones magazine because they're shocking to, like, liberals or something, which we like. We like to shock liberals. So I tip my hat to them. But, like, apparently, like, they interviewed – there's some connection between them and the governor of Maine. And, like, the governor of Maine was on their show, I think, saying, like, yeah, man, it's time to start hanging people for committing treason and, like, ignoring the Constitution. Like, that's the governor of a state saying, yeah, we're going to hang some people, man. So, got to tip our hat to Aerostock Watchmen. I think they're the ones that put us on the radio. I appreciate it. Yep.
I'm not for hanging people.
I'm not either, but I'm for politicians doing shocking things.
Hang up ugly posters of them. Hang up art that makes fun of them. That's what I'm for.
And I know you're not a sovereign citizen, but you do stand up in court and
and in real life.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I just had one. I had to.
Tell me.
I had to close it from afar, sadly, because the way court works is they always try to prolong it.
You forgot you had it. I heard Ian talking about this.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Good thing Ian's on it.
I haven't heard this. Film in.
So I always get parking tickets in Keene, New Hampshire, where I used to live, and it was intentional. Like, every time I would park, I would never fill the meter because I wanted the ticket, and that gave me an opportunity to go into court and make videos and try and challenge the authority of this court to even call me to be there in the first place. Like, wait, what gives you the right, you know, to charge money for these parking spaces? Shouldn't the business owners own them? And where do you get the authority to even pull me here and threaten to take away my license? Or even, why do we have these licenses? You know, it just gave me a sound stage to make these arguments and then broadcast them to the world on YouTube. And it only cost $5 if I lose, which I'm always going to lose, but it was really just paying $5 for the opportunity to make a video. And
sure.
So I would do this, and I think I got the closest I ever got with my last trial, where I was trying to challenge jurisdiction, saying that, hey, you don't even have a right to call me here for an arraignment. And the judge said, this is a trial issue, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then he prolonged it, said, you know, we're going to give this a continuance. And I moved to California in the meantime, totally forgot that I had a court date. I would have remembered. It would have popped up on my Google calendar or whatever, but, or maybe Ian would have reminded me. But he knew. Ian was so on top of things. He went to court on my behalf. It was a LLC that got the ticket. It wasn't even me personally. So all of us were just passing the ticket down the line. Yeah. It was a police cruiser.
Well, that's good.
So anyway.
That's good court.
We tried. The court said no, and Ian paid $5.
Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends. On the radio, Worms.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
How's that dead figure part of the mixtape coming in, Donnie Douglas?
I'm working on it.
Okay, let's see.
So the tape is recorded and photographed. I just need to find the finger itself, and then we'll be all set.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you could actually have it like in coming out of an envelope on like a police detective's desk with his badge and his shiny badge and his gun there. But I don't know. I think that might get a knock at our door. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. You pre-finger with every tape.
So we are on an internationally syndicated radio show here, and there might be someone listening on the internet in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area. We would like an air check, please. Please check FM 88.1 and tell us if we're on it, and then tell us where you are. Email us. And Tommy's in Sunnyvale. Let's see if he reaches there. Probably not, but we can check it. All right.
Maybe. I mean,
worms.
Presumably, it's up in a high place, so
there's no mountains between here and there.
Mm-hmm. hey, speaking of the mountains of California, I traveled across them to go to a Mises celebration. Do you guys know Ludwig von Mises?
That's amazing.
Yep.
Misesian.
So why is there an ad on LRN that's you and a bunch of people all talking about all the 101 reasons to move to New Hampshire, and they've actually all, most of them have moved away from there by now?
Because, I mean, the ad still works. It still is a good ad. And, you know, the things that were said in it are true. So, you know, I don't see any reason to change it. I am a part of the ad. I say that I felt a desire to move there, an impulse, and I went with it. I mean, that's all still true.
Yeah.
And I felt it. Another impulse to move to San Francisco, and I went with that. So I don't know. Yeah. It is weird listening to LRN and hearing all these people be like, move to the Shire, and it sounds like they're there, right? But they're not. They all right. So you want me?
Jeffrey Tucker is in the ad, and he was never there.
No, it's not.
No. That's a different ad. But that's for 101 reasons to move to, or the 101 reasons Liberty lives in New Hampshire. Jeffrey Tucker's in that preview in that ad, and also it's a trailer for the movie. Yeah, he says, like, people coming together, living together in the same place, really working and living for liberty. I mean, that's amazing.
You sound
so
like,
we've talked a little
bit
about
it. You sound like a straight guy making fun of gay guys, or you sound like South Park making fun of Canadians.
But that's
Tucker.
How Jeffrey sounds. I'm sorry.
You think he's
gay,
that's
right?
The thing. Like,
you think
what we're actually
gay,
listening
right?
to is a gay guy imitating a straight guy, who sounds like a gay guy.
But so,
I don't know. No,
gay.
To answer
Jeffrey
your question, Mike,
gay.
I don't say that. I say I don't know,
your
but
gaydar.
I really suspect it.
Your
yeah, it blows. It blows my yeah. gaydar right out the room because yeah. He's always. First of all, I've always felt very starstruck by Jeffrey Tucker.
Really?
For
yeah, me too. He's one of the few people.
He's one of the people.
I've never been in
yeah, he's
room.
One of the people where I squirm and I like clam up and I have
Ew.
To run in the other direction because I'm
and
just like, oh man, he's here. Yeah, kind of. He really, I don't know what it is about him, but he does it for me.
I don't know, man. And academics don't do it for me.
He's not really an academic. He's an entrepreneur
he
as well.
One.
He has his hand in everything, and he's a dramatist. He you know, he acts and he performs and he's so well spoken
like
and well dressed.
I'm down with him.
Yeah, it seems like he has an, you know, superhuman ability to like produce. He put all of Mises' work online for free. He's so ahead of his time, and I just really admire the guy. And a few weeks ago on another podcast I do called Flaming Freedom, where we talk about LGBT liberty issues, it came up like, hey, would you sleep with Jeffrey Tucker? Because I would. I'm interested. He's great.
I'm not.
But then I was like, wait a minute. He's not gay, is he? And then that became the whole topic of some people think he is, most people, and other people think he's not. And he walks around with this woman who's a beard, you know, to what I think is a beard. Like, he's always walking around with some young, beautiful woman. And I'm like, oh, come on.
But he's also married.
He's married. He's Catholic. So all of these things add up to...
He's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in a conundrum. I just saw that movie,
it's
man.
It's none of my business.
That gay character, David Ferry in the JFK movie, the like tweaked out speech, mind-blowing. Played by...
Yeah.
What's his name?
That's such a good movie.
Gangster. It is.
What movie is this?
Even if it's JFK. All made up, it's like one of the best movies ever made.
Oh, yeah. Back.
And it's like...
And to the
I
left.
Actually, I actually root for a small part of the government in that, because the hero in that is like a district attorney who's trying to get to the truth. But, you know, the government's so powerful. There's a line in there that David Ferry says that I think like nails what's wrong with government, like why it can never be accountable, even if you think it should be. And we'll go back to who's gay and who's not. But I'm just taking a little side trip here, a little enigma wrapped in a conundrum, wrapped in a condom. So, like, when David Ferry's freaking out, like, right before they find him dead in his apartment, they're like, he's like, and I know who shot the president. I know. And they're like, well, who shot the president? And he's like, you can't ask me. The shooters don't even know. I'm like, that's the line right there, man. The shooters don't even know who killed the president.
Wow.
All right, go on.
That's bizarre.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's
amazing. Well, yeah, so there's all these things that add up to a person being gay. First of all, it's none of my business. But if I'm going to be honest, I think about this. And I think
aren't
about
you the Perez, when aren't you the Perez Hilton of Liberty? Isn't it totally your business?
I guess I've made it my business because I'm honest and I'm willing to ask the questions. Yeah, and I'm afraid that he's a friend of mine. Like, we know each other when I was at this Mises celebration.
Call him up
as
right
I walk
now.
Past.
Call him. We got seven minutes.
I'm not going to do it.
Segment's over. Call him. Wake him up, man. Where's he live?
No, he lives in. He just moved, so he's in Atlanta now.
He lives
no
in
longer.
The Holy
yeah,
City.
Right.
Didn't he?
No, he's in Atlanta.
Like, work for the Vatican.
I would.
Dude, wake him up. Wake taking... him up. No, he did. He did. He did work for the Vatican. He did some music college.
I won't before. Wake him up. I'm afraid of him. But
I'll wake
here's
him up.
The thing. So while I was
text
walking past. Okay, I will do that. But
I'm not going
to
wake
as him. I was walking past to leave, I was like, oh, you know, thank you for your passion, your dedication, your optimism. And I was just thinking it was going to be this flippant comment as I'm walking out the door. He grabs me. Pulls me in close and kisses me on the cheek. He gives me this long kiss. I have to pull away from it. And I was going to ask him if I could kiss him on the cheek. But he did it before I could even ask. And I loved it. I felt it. And he was giving a look to my other gay friends who were with me and was like, hey, I just moved to Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta. Jeffrey Tucker, Atlanta. Hey, come visit me. Come stay with me. We'll do the thing. And I'm like, oh, the thing. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do the thing.
What's
whatever
the
that
thing?
Is. You know, who knows? I have no idea. But he was like, hey, you know, the last time I think we met, there was that scandalous picture of us online. And I know that exactly the one he's talking about. It was the cover of the Flaming Freedom episode where we ask. It's not safe for radio, so I won't repeat it. But, you know, it's at flamingfreedom.com. So if you want to see the scandalous photo of Jeffrey Tucker and me. It is online, and he saw it. I was terrified. I thought that possibly if I just never acknowledged it, never brought it to him, it would escape him. But he knows that I'm asking about his sexuality now, and I'm afraid to have him on as an interview guest because I want to ask the real question. I don't want to ask about Mises and libertarianism and what book is so great. I want to know about your sex life.
I don't really want
to. I want to know who you're getting into hot tubs with. Like, and can I be that person?
Stuff is, you know, people want to be on radio shows. Like, if you have a radio show, even before you have a following, like, people are like, hey, you should interview me. I have a rule. Like, I never interview anybody who wants to be interviewed. And I just sent out this thing the other day to all the Fiends co-hosts. Like, don't interview. Don't offer to interview me without asking me. Don't offer to trade. Like, don't put me in a spot of having to say no. But actually, like, I'm thinking, like, in a couple situations, it's been okay. Like, like Lou had James Babb on, like as a guest, like as an interviewee, and I was like, I heard it. I was like, dude, that James has got to be a regular co-host. That's so good, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm actually thinking now of like, I was gonna try to interview James Bovard, but then I'm like, you know what? That dude should just be a fiend. Like James Bovard, if you're listening, we want you to be a fiend. It does not pay. We'll buy you a microphone. Drop me an email. You know me. All right.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Big beard.
Yeah. I think he could be the final fiend we need. Although Angela Keaton's getting ready to get on the Fiends. You know that, right?
Oh, that's exciting. I think he might have been at the Mises celebration last night, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of these people that's like as smart as an academic, but not hoity-toity, you know? Bovard. And Babb.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Angela Keaton's been kind of flirting with being a Fiends host for a long time.
Yeah, she's got a. I had a stern talking to with her the other day. She knows. She'll hear tomorrow. She gets baked in the afternoon and listens to the Fiends. I'm assuming because she said that we were like the Fiends was like doing bong hits of Trainwreck, and I didn't know that Trainwreck was a variety of medical marijuana. I just loved the without knowing. I just thought she meant doing bong hits of Trainwreck, like actual Trainwreck. I thought that was the coolest thing anybody could say about our show. I was like, yeah, man. She listens in the afternoons, not at night. She's busy running the anti-war at night.
Worms.
Yeah. How's that finger? So, Ted Finger mixtape coming? Okay, go ahead, Derek.
I'm looking for some real advice.
In just a second.
Right. I'm wondering if I should really go pursue this.
Pursue what?
Pursue Jeffrey Tucker?
Should I? Yeah. What if I did that? What if I became his mistress?
Oh man, I don't know. I think he's out of your league. He's hung out with the Pope, man.
I like to take him at his word.
Out of my league. Think that he's married. Gave me a kiss. Nah.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. Though.
Rockstars kiss all the little girls.
Oh come on. He pulled me aside. See, I was picking up a vibe there. I mean, he easily could have just dismissed and ignored me, been real sweet. But
okay, go for it, man. Go for it.
I'm going for it. Jeffrey Tucker in a hot tub. It's happening. We're gonna.
Well, what's your first move? I mean,
with pork ribs. My first and move Valium.
Is, yeah, I'll surprise him. that sounds showing relaxing, up in Atlanta.
Pork ribs, Valium, hot tub. It's actually the name of a movie.
We'll do a spa day.
There's a movie about .com failures that I saw at Sundance. It was in 2001. It's called Pork Ribs, Hot Tubs, and Valium.
Well, I'll lure him in with those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no gay man I know can refuse a spa day, especially on Valium. So, you know, we'll do that together, and, you know, we'll see where things go. I want to record the whole thing, too.
If anyone's in the Bay Area, turn on FM 88.1 and let us know if you can hear us. Oh, man, this is so gross. Oh, Dobby, this is horrific. I love it.
Yep. Is the finger like bleeding all over the tape?
The finger looks like it's got its own little. I mean, he made like a memento mori box for this whole thing.
Is the finger dirty?
I don't know what that is.
Has it been washed?
It's a little grimy here. I'll
the finger's
right
a little
now,
grimy. Dude. The finger
has
looks
it been
like it's
touching things,
picking the nose of a monster or something. Yeah, we're out.
Well, it's as gritty as the tape deck.
It's as gritty as tapes. Yeah, I don't know.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Except for all the others.
Hey, so one of the things that Jeffrey Tucker was riffing on, he was the main speaker at this Mises celebration. It was really cool. All these like black and gold balloons and all the themed lighting was all yellow and it was cute. But he was just singing about Uber with his Tucker music. He's talking about how he went to the Uber offices and there's this huge wall of all the different like drivers and transactions happening all over the world. And he was like, these nerds silently tapping away at their keyboards are destroying hundreds of years of regulations and laws that are trying to prevent commerce all over the world. And it was just amazing. So it's sort of a holy moment for him. He like knelt down. He saw that like Mises was in his ear asking like, well, how is this possible? You know, it's like, and so Uber is so amazing because it affects people at sort of an emotional level. Like to me, I want to defend Uber, and I've seen these taxi drivers hold protests. Yeah. You know, they get so emotional, they're so upset, they're invested. And one of the things that I found unusual happening is there's a man in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, who is disobeying the city council's ordinance to not drive Uber. Like, they're saying, this is not allowed, we won't have it, we want old-style cabs only, none of this new-fangled technology Uber stuff, we won't have it. So this guy is flagrantly violating their ordinance, continuing to drive, he's the only one out on the road, and like, I mean, the incentives are there. Of course, on a Saturday night when there's lots of people who need a ride home rather than driving drunk, he's the only one who can drive them, right? Him and the cabs. So I got into this Twitter war, Davi, where this someone tweeted about this guy in Portsmouth, and I was like, yeah, right on. This is awesome. And a cabbie jumped in. And I love that this is like, this could only happen today, right, because of Twitter, that a cabbie saw this tweet, and he's like, yeah, but they're not regulated, and, you know, the mayor came up with the laws, and he should just follow the laws, right? And it's just amazing to me that I am just a customer. I don't work for Uber. I'm just a guy who enjoys their ride service. I barely even use Uber. I usually use their competition, Lyft. But here I am having an all-day, like, probably 20-25 tweet-long conversation with this cabbie, and other people are joining in, making these different different arguments in favor or against. I mean, that's amazing. A technology that even the customers are coming to the defense of it.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's where Jeffrey and I agree.
Cool.
I don't know. It felt weird. Like, I'm not getting paid by Uber to defend them, but here I feel like I have to.
Well, you're not really defending Uber per se.
You're paid in karma, like a wonderful relationship with Mama Satoy, which I want to hear more about in the second hour.
Ew. Yeah, okay. I went to a weird meeting.
You're essentially out there defending the rights of Uber to operate as well as the rights of any of Uber's competitors to operate. You're not really defending Uber itself.
Yeah, but in all of these tweets, like, Uber was being tagged. It's just got to be weird. Like, if you're the Uber Meister, if you're the guy at the
Uber Meister,
the guy at the top who's in charge of social media or whatever, their tweets, you're seeing all of these tweets come in of people arguing about your service. Like, I don't know.
I still can't get over how much leftists hate things like Uber, which they call the sharing economy, but they always say, we need more sharing. But then there's these things that, like, facilitate sharing without government guns, and they're like, but. And the thing is, the people...
But it's not free, Michael. Uber should be free.
The thing is, the people who defend the right of taxi drivers to have a monopoly, like, they're people who would never sit down and, like, have a beer with an old taxi driver. Like, they'd probably get beat up by a union guy, you know? Like,
they probably don't speak the language.
Here's the thing I'll say. Most of the people who've screamed in my face before about workers of the world needing to unite are people who've never actually worked a day in their life.
And don't want to.
Well, if they've heard about Lazoos, that's a cool project that's actually about sharing. So if they are angry about Uber and Lyft and all the other ride services that cost money, check out Lazoos. That's something you could actually participate in.
Worms. I gotta go snort some aspirin.
Yeah, I want to tell you about my first ever cult meeting.
Cool.
When we come back. I actually went to one. They let me cut out early. But cool. Next time they may just cut
you
me.
Won't. Yeah, those cut. You've got finger party too far.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow.
Fiends. Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends. Oh, hey, Board Op, you don't have to turn it all the way down. Leave it there a little bit. It is a teaching hospital. Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite, LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. You know where I got Financial Beast Plaza from?
What? No.
Who's the guy that does the money show on like mainstream syndicated radio?
He's probably
like, yeah, no. The good one. The one that it's radio only and people call in and say, you know, my third cousin wants me to go to Guam for his wedding and I'm in debt. Should I go? And the guy's like, no, you shouldn't do, you know, like he gives money advice. I forget his name, but he gives good money All advice. Right. And, you know, he's on the afternoon syndicated nationally. He used to say his show was live from Financial Peace Plaza. Like, you know, his whole thing is like getting out of debt and cutting up your credit cards and being at peace with finances and not being in debt except for a mortgage.
That's nice.
Yeah, Financial Peace Plaza. But the first time I heard, my wife listens to it sometimes in the car because there's nothing else on in our town in the afternoon when she's driving around. And I was like in the car with her. I was like, did he say Financial Beast Plaza? He's like, no, it's Financial Peace. Like, you know, like being at peace with your finances. I was like, I kind of liked Financial Beast Plaza.
Yeah, so. It sounds like we're in London or in New York.
Yeah. Financial Beast Plaza.
Yeah, like the big financial octopus.
I know, it is.
Takes over the world.
Well, I was thinking more like, I call my pets Beast. Like, hey, Beast, come here. I say that to the cat. Like, I'm thinking, like, if my cat had a bunch of money, he'd be Financial Beast.
With a monocle and top hat.
Yeah. Dave Ramsey. That's the name of that show.
Oh,
Dave Ramsey Show.
Yeah, he's
I'm looking. There's actually a photo. It says Financial Peace Plaza. Like, he has a, you know, out in front of his place, he has a thing that says Financial Peace Plaza. Oh, and Financial Peace University. All right, so tell us about your cult. We want the weekly check-in, man.
Yeah, so this
So first of all, for people who don't know, why did you join a cult? You don't like cults. You hate cults.
Yeah.
Why did you join one?
I lived in New Hampshire. I loved it.
New Hampshire.
And then I met this guy. New Hampshire, yeah. And I fell in love, and it was
Financial
a great story.
Beast.
I had, but he lives in San Francisco, so I was like, well, I got to move to San Francisco.
And he has his act together. Like, I tried to hook you up with some, like, homeless guy, but you didn't. You weren't going in upstate New York, but you didn't want to do it.
No. I
Why would you do that?
Oh, because he had a... anyway. Go on.
So I'm looking for a place to live around San Francisco, thinking that it's going to be just cake. It's easy. You know, I've got money to offer people who want money for a space, and there are spaces available, right?
No, Derek, that's not how San Francisco works.
It's a totally different world out here. I had no idea. I mean, people tried to warn me. They tried to tell me, like, oh, okay, all right, good
You'll
luck.
You'll be homeless.
Like, you're going in blind. That's very optimistic. And I didn't realize how optimistic I was being. So one of the hundreds of Craigslist ads that I responded to actually wrote back to me and had like this two-part Google questionnaire. It took like an hour to fill out. This is the application to, like, maybe we'll let you see the room.
It's the application to apply.
Yeah, this is the application to apply, exactly. And then it took two personal meetings after that. And the guy had to interview and make sure that you want to be part of his revolution. And it was all, like, vague.
Yeah, he is super quiet. Oh. What happened to Derek Che?
I don't know.
He got really quiet.
Cult interference.
Cult interference. Thank you. I like it when the board, it's like God when the board op whispers in our ear, because the audience does not hear it. We just hear, like, hey, you seem
quiet. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like God. All right.
All right.
All right. Hey.
So I've turned myself
now you're
up dramatically.
Really loud. That's amazing. Right. That's amazing. Okay. Turn it down a little bit. Bring it down 20% from there.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it, baby. All right. Go on.
Okay. So this is something that I've been nervous about and anticipating for a long time, is this weekly meeting that's mandatory. Everyone, it's 20 people in this house, and it's a really nice It's a really nice property. I mean, it's
is he too loud? Is he
good? Yeah. No, it should be just that sweet spot. Just perfect.
Jacob.
Now I sound great.
Is he too loud?
Not bad. Oh.
I'll turn him down a little bit. All right. There you go. Go ahead. It's okay, a teaching hospital.
Thank you.
Go on.
Worms. So, so I was nervous, like, what are they going to do to me? Are they going to make me say stuff? Is this going to be the end of me? I don't want to be kicked out of this place. It was so hard to find any kind of place. I'm willing to join a cult to just have a place to lay my head. But they're really specific about, like, you can't live here if you're just looking for a place to live. Like,
you have to
be a part of our revolution. Yeah, like, you have to be be here.
I hate the word revolution unless it involves rifles. Not saying I want revolutions with rifles, but I don't really think that something is a revolution. I don't like it used as, when people mean an evolution is what they mean.
Yeah, I think the word that they're really looking for is evolution, but I don't want to correct the cult leader on that. So
go ahead, man. You could take over.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. I mean, I don't know. These people, they have like one-on-one meetings with him. They call him Mama Satoy. And they treat him like he is a mother figure. I still haven't met Papa Ernie. That's apparently
Does he sit cross-legged?
Yeah, he sits cross-legged. He sat at the piano
higher than you,
today,
like looking down on you.
No, he wasn't higher than anyone. There were people in some high chairs, some at low chairs. Okay. But we're all sitting around in a circle, all 20 of us. And
20 roommates.
The topic today was forgiveness. And why we have to have forgiveness, and why, you know, forgiving others is about, it's really a selfish act. It's about you, and it's not about forgiving things in the past. It's about affecting the future. And I thought that was a really nice, nice kind of conversation.
Forgiveness doesn't have to be selfish. It is a lot of times with a lot of people, but is he saying that
basically,
the goal is to be selfish with it?
No, this was, so it wasn't led by him. It was led by, it's like mandatory that different people in the house are the ones who lead this. So like you get tasked with presenting to the rest of the group. Like next week, it's going to be my turn to present with my team. And I forget. Oh, we're talking about
like
privilege.
Club, man.
Do you get to decide what your topic is?
I don't know who decides that, but I was assigned a topic. It's privilege. So I'm going to get, I mean, it's a room, it's a bunch of mostly.
Can you record that?
Oh, I recorded the one tonight. Yeah. And I'm going to record the next one too. I try and record as much as possible.
Do they know you're recording them?
No.
Dude, they hear you. You're on the radio talking about this. They could hear you.
I don't care. Fine. Whatever.
They'll kill you.
I record everything. And that's just the way I do. So they're going to have to put up with that. Or not invite me to their meetings. That would be great. Because it really ruins my Sunday nights. I actually had to rearrange my Fiend schedule just because of these culty meetings. They're required every Sunday. And they start kind of late. And I had a feeling this one was going to last a long time. Everyone was giving their story of like, my mom and dad abused me. And now I forgive them. And I'm so much happier now. And it's like, something was sitting not quite right with me about their stories of forgiveness. Because it's like, what kind of responsibility do you hold for these people? Like, how could you just, I don't know if maybe I'm just not fully developed, not fully there yet or whatever. But I don't like this idea of forgiving people who have wronged you.
I'm not okay with forgetting. Like for me, like to forgive just means I'm not going to carry a grudge around for you. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to ignore that. Like there may be some damages involved, or I may have learned a behavior about you. I'm not going to forget that you behave that way. I may feel that you owe me something, or that you harmed
I'm cautious
me. Like I'm not going to absolve debt. Is what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a problem too, just with the whole like assigned nature of what Derek's going through. I'm kind of astonished that you're putting up with this. Like I literally, you know, it's not that
it's
cold
this or homelessness,
I think homelessness would be a better bet, man. I think living in a tent in Golden Gate
horrible.
Park would be more fun.
It really is bad. I mean, it started out, first of all, everyone was gathered around the meeting. Before anything got started, Mama Satoy, you know, says, oh, I've got some administrative stuff I want to take care of. And he goes on this diatribe about how you have to reapply every month.
Diatribe, you get to talk back. That's not a diatribe. It's a monologue.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the correction. I didn't know
die
that.
Die 2, mono 1.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Maybe
well,
it's a biotribe if he likes girls too, but
Well, he was talking about how you have to reapply to live at this house every month, and there's a deadline that you have to apply at least 40 days before the term of the lease is up or whatever. So, so this is not only the deadline.
It's biblical. 40 days and 40 nights it rained in the house.
Yeah, but the deadline isn't really the deadline, is what he was explaining. It's like, if you get it in right before the deadline, that doesn't really count. It means that you didn't really care. It's not coming from you. You're just doing this as an obligation.
He doesn't want you to have just the minimum basic number of flair.
Yeah, right. That's where I was going.
Same place I was going. I love Dobby.
If you want to express yourself, maybe you should go above the minimum
number of flair. You know who wants to make people wear pieces of flair? The Nazis. You should tell him that. He's probably never seen Office Space. He would just be like, what?
Yeah, get out of my house. His eyes would glaze over. But
I didn't just slap him and call him a sissy faggot.
Wow. That would be crazy. I don't know what he would do. But
considering you are a gay man, it would be just extra bizarre. Just call him a sissy faggot and like not I'm not saying like backhand him, I'm saying like things he can't like kinda like cats when they're playing with each other's tail with two hands, like whack, 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 you know, like don't harm
I'm him. Terrified of what would happen. He sat next to me at this meeting and I think intentionally, you know, like and one at the meeting at the
to
beginning
vibe you I'm, out.
Yeah, maybe. I mean the guy who presented this topic of forgiveness was saying, like, how do you feel right now? How do you feel about the person next to you? And I'm like, seriously thinking, like, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm here because I'm obligated to be, and I don't want to get kicked out of this house. And, like, I'm trying to put on this face of, like, smiling through my teeth. Like, yeah, everything's great. But
the only thing I love about really it is I'm it terrified. Makes for great radio. It really does. Like, forever. Like, as long as you're there... And for about 4 months afterwards, you're going to have an hour's worth of stories a week, at least, for radio.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, one of the women who was part of his what he calls the deadline club of people who he has to remind that the deadline is soon approaching. If you make it to the deadline club twice, you're not going to like it, is what he said. And one woman gave her a story. Yeah, she was like, I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but I submitted mine wholeheartedly with a lot of passion.
You're listening to scared. Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and up. Some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Cult team.
Right, where'd we leave off on the cult thing?
So yeah, I want to back up a little bit because I sort of rushed it at the end. So this woman, she's like really beloved. She's been there for years, and apparently she's been successful in reapplying every month. She's been there for years, so that's got to mean something. So here she was saying,
I bet she cycles her applications.
Maybe. I mean, well, you can't because all of the letters that you write to Mama Satoy are published on a private website that only you can access. You have to have, like, he gives email access. He calls it a website, but it's not really a website because you can only sign on through it, like through a Google account that he approves. It's the other thing. It's like there's so much control here. Like you don't get access to the Wi-Fi and or the kitchen or the washer dryer or the bathrooms or like anything. You sign all that away up front and then you say, like, as a favor, Mama Satoy will let me use these things if I leave them better than I found it and I meet all these obligations or whatever. So this guy was
found it.
Live it better than you found it. Which is my new ringtone. I'm hoping that it freaks out the rest of the cult members. Whatever Steven or
you gotta have someone call you during a meeting and say, oh sorry, I thought it was off. Yeah.
Oh, well, it wasn't playing this time. It was recording, and I made sure it was on silent so that nothing would be interrupted. But hey, so during the meeting, one of the guys was talking about forgiveness, and he wanted to express gratitude, first of all, for one of the other people in the group, one of our housemates, because on the topic of applying for another month, he said that he was bragging to another housemate, "I'm going to get mine in a few days early." And she said to him, "Well, maybe you should get yours in a few days before a few days early, you know, like even sooner than you thought you were going to." And he was like, "Okay, yeah, do, you know," and he was all happy and chipper about that advice, thought it was great, got his in early. But Mama Satoy said, I mean, he must have recognized there was something else going on behind the scenes here. And he said, "Well, Elizabeth, why don't you explain why you made that or why you recommended that advice?" And she looked real sad and ashamed and sort of looked down and was and she's like the note taker. She's the minutes girl. And she said, "Well, I was looking to submit mine early. I applied on the 15th and they're due on the 20th of every month." So she was like 5 days early, and that wasn't enough. So she was saying that she had written hers and it was very heartfelt and meaningful, but then something came up on the 15th and she had these other obligations and she couldn't get it to him until the 19th, and she applied on the 19th. And well, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but it didn't feel good. That's what she said. And everyone just sort of was silent for a little while, like,
man.
Okay, what happens? I mean, what does he do?
Spanking machine.
I wish. I mean, first of all, the people in the house are pretty attractive. Like, there's a weird...
Is that part of it?
I don't know if that's... That might be part of it. Yeah, like, there are some people who aren't attractive. There are some... But I would say...
Maybe the application process is cover for culling the herd.
That might be. Because, like, the three people who have been there the longest are all over 50. But everyone else is in their 20s.
Yeah, so there's this weird. You know what? They're gonna harvest you for your organs, man.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, they're old and weak.
They don't let you do drugs. They don't let you smoke in the house, right? They want
no
healthy,
smoking.
Young
you can't be
lungs.
A smoker. You can't be a smoker at all.
Oh, they want healthy young lungs that they can. Yeah, that's
that they
I
can
understand.
Harvest. Yeah,
yeah.
So that was pretty weird. I don't know what it's going to be like when I try and reapply to live at this place. I hope I don't have to. Like,
I think you should have Ian. I think you should have Ian. No, have Mark Stevens represent you, dude.
Like over call Skype. In over Skype.
Video
yeah.
Skype. So, Mama Satoy, what gives you the jurisdiction to do this?
Because I signed
house?
It all away. Derek you said did. He wanted to be a part of the revolution. He wasn't just
I
looking
think
for a place to
liver,
hang his head.
You signed your liver away, man.
Whoops. Well, Joe. that's the weird part of trying to straddle this, like, oh, yeah, I want to be a part of your revolution. Please let me out. I'll do anything. Like, I'll just meet your obligations. But now I'm learning, like, okay, so the deadline doesn't really mean the deadline. It means, like, 5 days or a week before the deadline. And I have to, like, feign enthusiasm. And I guess I could kind of see where he's coming from. Like, if this is not a cult, and if he's a well-meaning guy, maybe he's just trying to impart this lesson about, like, hey, don't be a person who waits for the final moment to fulfill your obligations, you know? Put those as a priority. Do them early. That would be good advice, generally.
Yeah, like, we're out now. Early.
Worms.
Meow.
Meow.
Hang on.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome I just learned something awesome. I want to share it with you, dummy. Did you know Willem Arendais was a homosexual Dutch artist, author, an anti-Nazi fighter who bombed the Amsterdam Public Records Office to hinder the identification of Jews by the Nazis? His last words were, "Let it be known, homosexuals are not cowards."
Awesome.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to talk about the cult.
The Nazis were killing homosexuals, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was self-preservation, in a way. It didn't work, but...
Was he killed?
Maybe it was effective a little bit. Like, those guys in the Camden 29, who, like, raided the office where they were keeping the draft records, where they were about to draft people, and they just, like, tussled all their papers... Scattered them all around and stole some. But the FBI was in on it. Hey, speaking of the FBI, did you read about that scary story some guy posted like in the backlogs of a forum somewhere on like My Grass City or whatever?
I heard Ian talking about it today on Free Talk Live.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. I read What's the whole thing. Okay, so this guy calls himself Plural of Mongoose, posted... on a blog, and there it was a forum, you know, where he was like, "I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know who else to tell. I've tried to go to the Department of Justice about this twice, and I've sent them emails in plain text with PGP encryption, you know, so that they can write back to me securely. And I've given them instructions on how to do this. I've given them the information that indicates that there's this guy who works for the FBI who is not doing his job as an FBI agent. He's doing something on the side here where he's trying to pocket a bunch of money."
Don't they all?
Hear about this happening.
A lot of them
well,
do.
yeah, they've all got a side thing. You know, they're privy to some secret information and they can make money off of that. So what this guy is doing is he's targeting new Silk Roads. So he was involved with the Silk Road bust in the first place, and somehow he got hold of a bunch of bitcoins, about $75 million worth. These are probably Ross Ulbricht's bitcoins, right? Or that's exactly what he alleges them to be. And he wants Ross to give up the password. And Ross might be the guy with the full password, but he might also only have half the password if he was smart. And so this guy, Plural of Mongoose, is the guy with the other half. And he doesn't want this FBI agent to get the money. He doesn't even want the money himself. He's not looking for money. He's probably got plenty already. And he's living off on a remote island in Southeast Asia. So he's publishing this blog or this forum post with as much information as he can, given the whole story about how this guy knew about things that were going to happen before they happened. He gave out his Tor chat address, which I didn't even know there was such a thing as Tor chat, but apparently you can chat with other Tor users over encryption and preserve your privacy that way. But
okay,
he gave out all of this information to try and stop this guy because... The Department of Justice doesn't seem interested in pursuing it, and he's going to wind up in jail at some point. In fact, he tried to turn himself in, but the government isn't even trying to get him. I mean, they would be the locals' job, and I think he's in Thailand right now, and he just pays off the locals to be like, "How about you don't arrest me?" And, you know, hands them a bunch of bots or whatever they call their currency there. But it's crazy that such a thing could even happen. And I'm really glad that he went to the internet for his solution. Like, hey guys, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm going to wind up dead or tortured or in jail at some point. Like, he knows he's at his end. Right now, he's just chilling on a beach until they get him. And he wants this FBI guy to not win. Like, it's fine for this guy who's his target to die or be tortured or end up in jail. He just doesn't want the FBI guy to continue absconding with other people's earnings. I mean, these are legitimate earnings.
With big violence threats, it sounds like, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way that he's been able to do it is he's with the government, right? So he has access and finds ways to hack into the new exchanges. Like, Agora Marketplace was one. Evolution was one that he shut down. And before he shuts them down, he steals their money. Like, he finds a way to figure out the admin's password. Like, the way that the guy described it was, he hacks into the exchange system and then waits in the bushes for the admin to sign in. And once the admin signs in, he's got everything. So at that point, he demands a ransom.
You know, like, Edward Snowden basically said that the government has the capacity, you know, if they have, like, someone's email address, they can do almost anything. I mean, they cannot break encryption, but generally the way they find people using encryption is like weaknesses other than the encryption. Like, you know, you can be having an encrypted end-to-end audio conversation with somebody that's like would take a billion years for a supercomputer to break the encryption on it, but that doesn't mean they can't stick a microphone in the room. You know,
right?
Yeah, or a keylogger on the machine,
Yeah, and you know, that stuff might even be backdoors in Windows and even Linux now. I've heard like Linux is not as secure as people think it is, and in a way, it's probably less secure than Windows because people just assume Windows is insecure, but assume that Linux is secure. Linux is only secure if you make it secure. It's not just secure out of the box. You know, and like just assuming it's secure, like a lot of people do. Same thing with Tor, like just using Tor without a VPN, without a lot of extra stuff, you know. But here's what it's getting down to is, like, you know, I think the reason that the government's not interested in what this guy's saying about their rogue officer is, I think the rogue officers are the ones that get things done. Kind of like how, you know, the FBI had to utilize the mafia to stop, you know, the KKK. Like, I think they use these rogue, I'll do anything and break any rule and destroy the Constitution agents to get through to the uncrackable Silk Road type people.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Michael, because this guy was very successful in the ways that he was bringing down the new exchanges that would arise in Silk Road's place.
And threatening to torture sweet little old ladies like you know, Mama Albrecht.
Well, that was what he was getting to. That's the end game here, is that he thinks that he can get the $75 million of bitcoins to be unlocked and unencrypted if Ross spills the beans on the password. And he was thinking that, you know, he's patient. He's willing to wait. He thinks that sometime between Christmas and New Year's, Ross would crack because of the emotion of being, you know, he's finally in his forever home now, you know, where he's going to serve four lifetimes in a federal prison. And so he's facing this end of his life. What's he got to lose by giving away, you know, this password to millions of dollars he's never going to see and that his cohort is never going to see? And this guy's willing to kidnap and torture Ross's mother and sister. I mean, this is what his actual plan that he was looking to execute. And so this guy is warning the world that this is this guy's plan. But he's not without his own shortcomings. He mistakenly or seemingly mistakenly signed off one of his chats with a different code name. And so now this guy who was in communication with him has three different code names for this guy. The one that he slipped with was... the one he wanted to be called was Sisyphus, who is some Stoic philosopher. Then CWT is how he signed off the second mistaken time. And then he explained that as like, well, that stands for carrot, and my code name is Diamond. So,
wait, Sisyphus, you think is a philosopher? Sisyphus was the guy that had to spend an eternity trying to roll a rock up a hill.
No, then I'm pronouncing it wrong. It was like
Sisyphus.
No, I'm pronounced. I'll look up the actual type, the actual spelling.
Ross Ulbricht is kind of doing more like Sisyphus. It's like eternal lifetimes of like not being able to do what you want to do.
Well, apparently Ross is spending his time educating people, helping them take the GED test.
That's what I'd do if I was in prison.
Yeah.
I'd do that, and I'd probably go to a lot of AA and NA meetings and lead AA and NA meetings because I'm comfortable in them and I know them and I can game them.
I just got, not to change topics too quickly, but I just got an email from one of the cult leaders.
Do you guys want to
hear it? This one's one of her right-hand women. Hello, everyone. I hope you had a great weekend. This week, Elizabeth gave me a wonderful gift in the form of ice cream, which she left for me in the freezer on Tuesday. It's with a sad heart that on Friday, upon opening the freezer door, the ice cream was nowhere to be found. I was wholeheartedly looking forward to the treat. On Friday night. And I'd like to stress the following. Oh, please don't take things. Oh, this is cute. Look, if you're really hungry and starving, please let the owner of the item know that you had a piece or a bite of or all of it. And rather than leave it as a surprise, this lets the owner understand and possibly give you more food if you're extremely desperate. I would never.
Yeah, but they don't have anyone living there that's desperate. They wouldn't let them.
I don't know.
Everyone living there is desperate. That's why they live there.
Yeah, that's what Davi and I were sort of saying over the break. It's like, I was like, Davi, is this normal? Like, am I just crazy? Am I imagining things? Like, is this
you're
maybe
crazy.
This is
it's not normal. Well, here's the thing. Like, I was kind of thinking that about you, about this situation. And I was thinking, like, situations I was in rooming-wise in San Francisco back in the day, like decades ago. Like, I lived with my girlfriend and I at the time. Lived with a couple, a married couple with a baby who were heroin addicts and thought that was completely normal. We lived with a gay Mexican dude who was a PCP addict who got arrested for running down the street naked and threatening cops and thought that was normal. So
I prefer my version of
your version is a little more normal, actually.
Yeah.
I could go on. Those are just two that come to mind quickly, you know.
Like, as weird and friendly as, like, oh, well, let's show compassion, and if someone's really starving, you know, give them more, is, like, as much as that's weird and sort of rubs me the wrong way, like, she could have handled this in all sorts of crazy ways.
Yeah.
True. So that's good.
True that.
Yeah, but, man, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Nope. Those worms.
Hey, the Folsom Street Fair, we didn't even get to that.
Yeah. I remember going to that with my neighbors one time. I was going, and it was like a girl that was like 11 and her brother that was like 7. Their mom like said, hey, can you take the kids for 3 hours? I have to go. They called me into work for a couple hours. I'm like, all right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So I wore a AK-47 shirt today. It's a like regular looking t-shirt, but it's got an AK-47 on it in all white, and the profile at the top of the gun has like families sitting down to dinner and like playing catch, and you know, it's like a little supportive
rifle,
family.
Call it a rifle.
Okay.
They probably thought
What's
it was a bong.
Are guns just for handguns, or what do you mean? Why call it a rifle instead of a gun?
Technically, all rifles are guns, but not all guns are rifles. But
okay.
Also, technically, a gun is a big thing that's mounted on a ship that shoots mortars.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you for the correction. So, I wanted to see if anyone would say anything, but they didn't. Maybe one day. Maybe if I started carrying a gun around the house, they would start to say something. But,
Last gun shop in San Francisco is closing their doors.
They closed down. Very sad.
Nope.
Although I have been able to go shooting here. I don't know if it's technically in San Francisco, but there's
South San Francisco.
Arms.
It's a different town.
It's a different... Oh, man. Yeah, I guess it's not even in the same county. There's a San Francisco county.
Yeah. Well, no, the county and the city are the exact same geographic thing.
Worms.
Yep.
So some of the cult members went to the Folsom Street Fair today together.
It's a big gay thing.
Did they have to apply first?
Their butts hanging out.
Yeah. I don't know, put it this way.
If you're from Middle America and you think homosexuality is a sin, you would think you died and gone to hell if you went to the Folsom Street Fair. Literally.
Yeah, but I went to heaven. It's so unique. I mean, people tweet at me all the time when saying like, "Oh, you moved to California, like you love freedom." Yeah, right. You know, but it's like, no, there's so much more freedom to be yourself.
Freedom to what? That's the question.
Yeah. Right. You can't carry a gun, but you can walk around naked. That's a lot of freedom.
I'd rather carry a gun. Naked.
Well, in Vermont, you can walk around naked with a gun.
Do both. Yeah.
Yeah.
New Hampshire, topless.
That's the real idea.
Ladies can be topless and carry a gun.
That's true. Although it might get you a ticket.
These two Venn diagrams are going to run into the problem of where to carry the gun.
Well, you can still... Yeah, I mean... I guess it's still considered naked if you're only wearing a holster.
Not really.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, does it really mean not stitch? Like, what if you're walking around in a baseball hat? Does that mean you're not naked?
Still naked. Yeah, still naked. Naked in a hat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so naked just some parts showing?
So like...
It's like, what if you're just wearing a t-shirt?
Well, I don't know. I'll never know because I don't have the internet anymore. Mama Satoy cut me off.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Secretly, my internet stopped working today. Well, like right before the meeting, I was getting ready because, you know, there were some notes to prepare for. Like, oh, read this like long, several page description of my problems with my parents and forgiveness and how that's helped me. And then meditate on these questions that I won't ask you about during the meeting. So... I was getting ready, and then my internet just shut off. It stopped, and it's like our internet connection is called Humility and like Amity, and there's all these silly names. And mine was gone. Mama Satoy has to connect
like
each person individually.
Names?
What?
Amity is one of the factions in Divergent.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I didn't know
that. Yeah. What are the other ones? Humility isn't, but Abnegation is.
Well, I don't know what the other ones are called because I'm only allowed to join Humility. And
oh, see, you've been the choosing hat has picked you, so that's yours.
Well, it's weird. Like, so I tried to sign on. They gave you the password with the lease, but the password wasn't good enough. It showed that I was connected, but then it wouldn't let me go to any websites. And I asked around. And they were like, "Oh yeah, Mama Satoy has to let you in." So it's like, okay, there's all these like.
She's gonna take away your phone and give you one of those phones you give little kids that like can only call your mom.
I can only call Mama and Ernie. Mama and Papa. So yeah, I like asked for special permission, and he's so particular about, oh, you have to respond to all of my emails promptly right away. You always have to say something, even if it's just got it. But I emailed him like, hey, can I get my internet working? Like, still nothing back.
Yeah, we're out. Almost.
Worms.
10 seconds, I guess. From the
How are you supposed to reply to his emails if you don't have internet access?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll forgive him. Maybe it's a test.
Yeah,
it
must
be a test.
Good show, guys.
Worms. Yeah, thank you for your service, Michael. Yeah, thank you, Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob.
Thank you, Josiah. Thank you, Bible. Ben Stone.